From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're listening to Germ Warfare with Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
What's the temperature? It is 23 degrees Celsius here in Cape Town, the bottom tip of the African continent. A little bit cooler today. It's been quite hot the last few weeks, and it's nice to have a little bit of rain at the moment, which we've been getting. Funnily enough, Cape Town is a very different climate to the rest of South Africa. For some reason, we have a hot, dry summer season, while the rest of the country has a sort of wet summer season. I'm not quite sure why it's inverted like that, but it is like that. I actually used to think that the rest of the country had the same climate as Cape Town. Turns out it doesn't, and it really is wonderful when you travel, even in your own country, and you see not just how different people are, but how different the climate really is. I mean, we technically should have, I think, two time zones in South Africa. We only have one, and that's because we on the African continent are so simple-minded that we don't worry about things like time zones, daylight savings, all that stuff. It's just too complicated for us. We all just wake up early and go to bed late or something like that. It's the way we do things. We don't worry about silly first world nonsense like that. Send me an email, germwarfare@tntradio.live. If you are in the live chat, it's a great pleasure to have you with us. Go to my page on TNT's website, my profile page. You'll find all my previous conversations in both audio and video format. On that note, my name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.
Giving you what you want.
I want the facts.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Brent Delport, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Pleasure. Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
You are a former South African, is that right?
I once hailed from Durban, left in 98, quite a number of years ago, and I guess I don't consider myself a resident of anywhere, to be fair, or citizen of anywhere anymore. I'm just a traveler looking for that shiny city, which, you know, has eluded me so far.
It's always an interesting thing to me when people immigrate, in so many instances, I've found that they always feel drawn to where they once were, despite the problems. I mean, it kind of rings true when you say things like the grass is not green on the other side. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, when I left, it was at that phase in the 90s where things were changing rapidly in South Africa, and the opportunities were definitely abroad. And like many South Africans, I went to London, and that was a great place at the time. Had fun, you know, made a career here. But, you know, all the reasons that people left the country, you know, looking for a safer place. Well, you know, I guess COVID proved that not to be the case. You know, I chose to live in New Zealand and, you know, thinking that was the utopia. And it ended up being one of the worst countries you could have possibly gone to in that period. So, yeah, I agree. Like, even me, I was in Cape Town a couple of years ago and was actually considering moving back. And that's coming from somebody who left in 98. So, yeah, you're correct. Mm.
We'll get onto the sort of overarching talking point in a moment, but I do enjoy people's stories. You know, the COVID era for me dramatically changed my worldview on so many levels. And something that I realized, and it was always self-evident before 2020, but it became really obvious post 2020, shall we call it AC after Corona, 2020, yeah. AC. What became really obvious to me is how important storytelling has become, and people's journeys. It's no longer about the science, the experts, what peer review says. It's now about what people say.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, I think for me, going to New Zealand was, you know, for many reasons, I left Europe in 2010. And, you know, I lived in both Australia and New Zealand. And it was like, for me, you know, looking at the problems that were in the West specifically, those two countries stood out as somewhere where, you know, you thought you could escape a lot of the problems that they have here. And, you know, I settled into getting what's called a lifestyle property, you know, acres and some animals and that sort of lifestyle in New Zealand, which many people do, and operated my businesses from there. But, you know, that was a defining moment. The COVID changed everything. It changed for so many millions of people. And like you say, everyone's got a different story around that.
You said New Zealand. I can forgive you for moving to Australia, but Brent, New Zealand, who would do that on purpose?
Well, they don't have snakes in New Zealand. so that's the draw. But it all depends. You know, I've got five children and we wanted that sort of rural lifestyle. I mean, I lived in Auckland, as you know, so it's not like too remote. But yeah, certainly, you know, I lived in Brisbane for a few years and that would be my first choice. But as a climate wise, because it reminded me of Durban, to be fair. But, you know, which of those two countries would have I wanted to have been in the COVID era? Probably neither. Neither.
Yeah, I like how people talk about China being so bad, but they forget about places like Canada and New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. And, you know, living in Auckland was the worst possible place in New Zealand to be, because that lady, I mean, for one COVID case, she'd shut down the entire country. And then it was like, let's just shut down Auckland. And so we were just in a period of backwards and forwards. And do you know, the thing is, I guess if there was a mistake I made was to actually take them at their word, which was, this was never going to end. You were going to have vaccine passports forever. You were never going to have a haircut. You were never. And so I looked at it like that and I thought, okay, I believe you. And then, of course, they said they're coming to knock on our doors, right? So it was like, okay, well, we got to make a choice now. You know, there was a cutoff period where even airlines weren't going to allow you to fly out. And so we made the decision to leave. Now, obviously, a year later or 18 months later, you know, things wound down and that's not the case. But like people will say, well, why don't you move back or why don't you go back? I said, well, yeah, the problem is the same people are in power. That's the problem. It's not changed. Yeah. Now, if there was a complete change or a recognition of the evil that was done, then maybe these countries would be attractive again, but they're not.
Although, to be fair, everybody sighed a sigh of relief when she retired to her stables.
I don't know how much better the current. Well, yeah, and you know, she can't go out in public, you know, in her own country, and that just says everything. So.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. I think we all would just hope that she kind of just stays in her stable eating hay for the rest of her life.
I think she actually lives in America now, if I remember correctly, in some blue state in New York or something. But anyway.
Of course she does. Now, there's an interesting segue here. The problem with the COVID era, I mean, I like to see silver linings where they are. And for me, I think there are a lot of silver linings with the COVID era. I think a lot of people woke up, they opened their eyes. Many millions of people gave up on trusting the quote unquote experts. The medical system has lost a lot of its credibility. These are all great things. Some of the bad things is that a lot of people lost their jobs. People have lost their lives. They've been injured by vaccines and all that kind of thing. But one of the silver linings that is often not spoken about is people have found new opportunities to make money, and you're one of them.
100%. You know, I've always worked in financial services for most of my career, and during that period I was involved in a startup in the US, but you know, I was based in New Zealand. And we started it basically just as COVID was breaking out, all the news about it. And it killed the business because we couldn't travel. We couldn't leave New Zealand and it just fell apart. And there we were set, you know, try, you know, and I've always worked for myself pretty much my entire life. And now you sat in a place, you're locked down, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. The only thing that you're left with is like, I've got the computer, the internet still works. You know, what can I do now? This business opportunity I had, it died. And so I started to, as a lot of people did at that time, started to look at trading as a potential to make money or to make a living. And so I started on that journey and tried various few things and settled on futures trading. But I guess a lot of people went to crypto, went to different things, and I did both actually. But I settled on something. I say to people, I settled on the approved scam, which is the traditional markets. You know, crypto is the unapproved scam, is what I say. But you know, it certainly is for a lot of people to this day, and this is why I continued with it, and still, you know, four of my children so far have turning out to be traders, teaching them to trade. And this is the thing, though, is what does trading offer is that ability to be free to go anywhere at any time. And if the markets don't function, then we've got other serious problems. The markets are going to be the last thing to not function.
Yeah. Okay. So for the layman, what is futures trading?
So basically, the you know, people will understand gold, oil, for example, future contracts. And I tend to specialize in the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, which is the index. So the tech companies, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500, the other larger companies. I mean, the S&P is the, you know, the largest market. I think it's $3 trillion a day is circulating through that market. And, you know, what we essentially doing, what I'm essentially doing is, it's not, you know, when people imagine trading, they think of somebody on a screen sitting there the whole day, you know, trading. Well, that's not, that's maybe for some people on Wall Street, they might do that. But as what I call myself a lifestyle trader, it's about extracting what you need or what you want from the market in a period of time. So we focus basically on 90 minutes of the day and that's it. And so various people will choose different times of the day to trade in Europe, and say even for people in South Africa, they're spoiled for choice, because you could do the Euro open of the market, you can do the US open, and you could do the US close. So it's more the case of, you know, not sitting there the whole day. Yes, there is a steep learning curve, and trading is not easy. And it is, you know, someone once said to me when I started the journey, it's a gateway to your soul. And I would say that. I mean, it's going to bring out things inside you that you never knew you had, in terms of your psychology around your belief systems, you know, around money, around fear of loss, around greed, and all these different aspects. But if you're willing to take the challenge, I would say that anybody, if they put the time and effort into it, can become a profitable trader.
When I think of futures trading, I think of Jordan Belfort throwing around dwarves and sniffing lines of coke.
Well, that would be the goal, I think, if I was younger. No. Yeah, I do joke around with that, saying, yeah, I'd love to throw a dwarf, but no, it's not. I mean, like, and we've had this conversation personally, you and I, and I, you know, four of my children are trading. The one who's not is 10 years old. So, and so, you know, we sit as a family and we trade the US Open, which, you know, normally would start in about 13 minutes. And it's a family thing, because I think even for my children, I look at the future and I go, well, I'm not saying that necessarily it's suitable for them to be that, but we homeschool our children anyway. And so, well, look, what, and that's the advantage of homeschooling. It's like, well, why don't you try this and see if you have an aptitude to this? And some of my kids have more of an aptitude than the other. And it's not that they have to continue doing it, but, you know, we created a system, my business partner and I, and that is easy enough to teach children to trade. Now, I would caveat that in saying that children make far better traders than adults, and maybe I can tell you that as well why. But it, I think children find it easier. They don't have the issues that adults have around mindset, fear of loss. You know, basically they see it as a game, to be honest, and that way, and they're better with their discipline with it, because you know their limited knowledge that they have with it actually is their advantage, because I just teach them a specific setup, and when you see the market do this, you do X. rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. Now, but also like on that note with the trading, it's like, well, okay, I can't see any of my kids going to work for a corporate company anymore because of the policies that they have in the West around wokeness. I mean, what chance do they actually have? And so it's more a case about entrepreneurial. This is one idea that you guys could pursue. But essentially, I've ingrained in them that, look, you're going to have to do it for yourself. There's no getting a career anymore. I think those days are gone.
Jordan Belfort, I mean, I beg your pardon, Brent Delport. I'm gonna jump to a break. I'll be back with you momentarily. My name is Jerm. This is TNT.
TNT's Dean Mackin.
What this is, it's a scheme that was proposing to help cover up to 40% of the cost of a home. The problem is it wasn't just giving you 40%. I wouldn't have liked that either, unless they were doing it to everybody, in which case, what? Who's paying for that? Our grandkids? But no, it's a form of socialism with them owning that percentage of your house, or a percentage of your house. And, you know, you've got to watch who you go in business with, who you go in partnership, and would you want to go in with a socialist government that advocates for that?
Dean Mackin on today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTRadio.live.
I think what I enjoy about a conversation like this, Brent, and I was saying this to you earlier today, is it runs the risk of being quite boring. If you're talking about trading or accounting or law, these are the sorts of things that are not very sexy. But the meta conversation actually is more profound. It's about not losing. I mean, the system is very much against the average person. What this shows is that you can still win. This is a solutions-based conversation, isn't it?
100%. I mean, for sure, you know, the system is gamed against all of us, but you can work it in your favor. And you know, the thing is, trading can be boring and not sexy, like you say, to talk about, but what is it offering? It's offering flexibility, freedom to work from anywhere. And if you're prepared to put in the work, then the reward and the upside is, you know, unlimited in a sense, right? So I try to give a fair, balanced picture about trading that, look, it's not easy. And people think, well, look, your kids are doing it and they're doing reasonably well. But yes, I caveat that again and say that, but children find it easier. So I had somebody ask me, they said, how long will it take for me to get profit from? I said, I don't know. I think your 12-year-old, I could do it in 3 months, but you, I'm not so sure, you know. Look, it's not for everybody. It's one of the pathways of making money online that you can pursue. Perhaps the more difficult one, but for people who are willing to put the time and effort, and you know, we set up a trading academy just to do exactly that, to help people. And I try and remove the barriers to entry that a lot of people have to trade in.
Yeah, I mean, I want to emphasize this, that I speak a lot about how much I get annoyed by victimhood culture. I can't stand it when people celebrate mediocrity. You can exploit any system. Okay, so the globalists or the World Economic Forum or the UN, they want to mass surveil you. They want to control you. Fine, we can talk about all those things and they're all real. What are you doing about it? Are you still going to game the system to your advantage? I think you can. The markets will never, ever tank. I mean, they will. The markets will go up and down, but they'll always be there. So if the markets are always there, then you can always exploit the markets.
100%. You know, the thing is, when you're a person that can see what's truly going on, there is often the potential for you to get a bunker mentality, you know, and to say, well, that's it. I'm going, as a lot of people actually did in New Zealand, go to South Island and hide. But, you know, that's not productive because you can't live like that. You've got to think about there's always opportunity, no matter how bad things seem around you. And in fact, I would say the opportunities are getting they're becoming more opportunities because there's so few people chasing those opportunities now. I mean, a lot of the youngsters today are not interested in the traditional type of businesses that the boomers had, right? So there's a massive amount of opportunity for anybody who's actually willing to get off their backside and actually look, right? I mean, for me, I have a set criteria. I need something which gives me flexibility to be able to hop on a plane and leave whenever I want, you know, not be stuck like I was, for example, in New Zealand. So there's plenty of opportunity, and you know, to encourage everybody, it's like, yeah, just look, and you will find.
Although it's tricky to wrap my head around futures trading, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a type of speculating on perhaps an asset, maybe not even an asset, what its price might be in the near future, and you basically sign a contract on whether or not it's going to go up or down. Am I getting it right?
It's a bit more simpler than that, the way that we do it, because we are essentially 5-minute chart traders. So what we're doing is we're in and out of the market sometimes in 20 seconds, 10 seconds, that we're taking small, what I call breadcrumbs off the market. And that's what we do. That's what we teach. Like, you know, because it's a scalable thing. You know, you trade based on contracts, and obviously depending on your tolerance or your account size, you can scale that to from one contract to 50 to 100 contracts, right, depending on the market you trade. And it's more a case of you just transacting in and out of that market. And the great thing about the futures trading in particular is that it's the least manipulated market that exists, you know. So for people in your audience who may be familiar with crypto, which I'm sure most of them are, there are many exchanges, crypto exchanges, and you know, depending on that exchange, depending on lots of variabilities in terms of whether you get, you know, your order wicked out or you have these massive liquidation candles, as they call them. Well, in futures trading, there is only one exchange in the world. Everybody in the world sees the same data, no matter where they are. And so really, it's like the purest form of trading. It's you versus the market. Also, as opposed to, say, trading foreign currency, where, you know, you've got many brokers. And so essentially, basically, we are crumb grabbers, you know, like we're grabbing the crumbs. And, you know, and sorry, I'll just say this as well, is that one of the things that I was quite involved in crypto as well. But one of the things that led me down this path was, do you know, if you're holding an asset like crypto, or you buying and holding, you're buying and praying that it's going up. I wanted to put myself in a position where I didn't care whether the market was going up or down, because we don't care as traders. We make money whether it goes up or down, sideways. Who cares?
Mm. There's a comment here in the live chat. I think it's awful to point kids in the direction of making money without having some beneficial results, such as producing something useful for somebody. What a waste of childhood time. I don't agree with that, because the benefit of what you're talking about is the child learns to make money, and then that with that money, the child can buy things.
So yeah, I think they're misunderstanding. I'm not putting my kids do normal schoolwork as well. They just got an extra subject, which is called let's learn how the markets work. Let's learn how to buy and sell assets. Because the thing is, to be honest, like if you learn how to trade, you know how to buy any asset class based on the technical analysis that you learn with trading. So in the future, it's like, well, I'm going to go and buy Tesla stocks. Well, hold on a minute. You know, I've taught my kids to be able to go look at their Tesla stock and see whether and now is perhaps a good time to buy or not, and they can work it out for themselves. So it's not like, and I did say this in the beginning, you know, this is not necessarily a career path for them. This is like, why don't you see where this is involved? And it's an important life skill, because if you know how asset and when something's a fair value or oversold or overbought, this is a huge advantage. I mean, I'm giving them an advantage. And I think when I went to school, what did I learn? Pretty much nothing that was really of any value, besides maybe maths and reading and writing, right? But, you know, so no, I'm not forcing them down this road. It's, they've each got their own interests. And this is why I said, in particular, one of my children, they're really into the trading more than the others, right? So, no.
I think it's a clever use of I suppose, entrepreneurial spirit. You can work from home. I mean, why would you want to poo-poo this idea? It teaches you to look at trends, I guess, forecasting, how to speculate with some sense of accuracy. It does give you a type of critical thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, and I mean, I am not ashamed of the fact that I'm a capitalist, right? And so my kids do have that running through their veins. But it's not all about the money, for sure. Like, this is a life skill that I'm teaching them. And, you know, I see me giving them an advantage in their life, you know, like in knowing when to buy and sell something. So, you know, they have different interests, like I say, and this is just an extra subject. And when I said earlier about being a lifestyle trader, we sit in a room as a family, including my wife, and we all trade together for maximum 90 minutes. Sometimes it's only 60. And that's just part of their schoolwork, right? And so it's not, hopefully that paints a clearer picture, right?
Yeah, I mean, family time. I mean, that's a win. I mean, I'm not seeing the downsides.
No, I don't. Maybe they misunderstood what I was saying, but, you know, everybody has their own way of parenting, and I've raised my kids because we homeschooled them. I've indoctrinated them to my way of thinking to a point.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, so we're all about, you know, freedom, going where we're treated best, entrepreneurialism, you know, finding opportunities. And at this point, it happens to be trading, but will it remain that way? No, probably not.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that you are now not doing anything valuable. And I really don't understand that thinking, because if you're learning as a teenager, I wish I could have done something like this when I was a teenager rather than working as a waiter in a restaurant. I mean, I understand the value in it, but it's so much more fun using the internet from home, you know? And of course, the internet's not going anywhere, right? It is here. It's part of our lives. It's here to stay. So you might as well exploit it.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, my eldest son, who's 17, he does a lot of our social media stuff that we do. And so he's had to go and learn, because I didn't have a clue. And, you know, he's gone and learned how to do various bits on social media. And so he's learning that as an extra skill. And so it's not just a one thing about trading. I mean, there's a lot to it. You know, it's, you know, we, like I say, for me personally, I teach other people to trade as well. We run live trading rooms for people to follow along with what we do. So it is all about actually empowering people. And so the thing is, I think that, you know, for me, could I just sit in a room and just trade? No, actually, I need to be able to, you know, give something back to other people, you know, in trading, you know. And, you know, when you called me this morning, I was actually busy with somebody I know, a friend of mine, helping him, you know, get, because he's in the situation where he's a cameraman, and AI technology is replacing his job. He used to, you know, and I don't understand a lot about camera work, but he's saying, like, I'm basically at age 56, I have to find something else to do. All I've been all my life is a cameraman, and they don't need me anymore, right? And he's getting less and less work. So I said to him, look, you know, whether trading is a good fit for you or not, or let me try it and see how you get on, you know, because there are a lot of people, there are a lot of jobs which are becoming redundant for people, and they're going to have to reskill in their 50s and maybe even in their 60s, right? And so it's not like one size fits all. It's like, here's something, try this, see if you, you know, you've got the passion and the will to do it, right?
I just want to clarify something, though. You said earlier that you do very quick trading. I'm guessing then that you're not really trading any actual asset.
No, you're in and out of indices, like the NASDAQ, for example. It's not, the transaction is happens in seconds. It's not like you're holding something and then having to, the market, it's like a live marketplace, right? You're in and out. But that would be the same for anybody who does crypto. It's not any different, right? It's not, if you're going to hold for a long period of time, it's a different type of trading, right? We're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different type of, there's not one style fits all, right? You know, in trading, there are people who are what they call more swing traders who are holding trades for a period of time. You know, maybe it's weeks, maybe it's years, maybe it's days. But we are specifically a lifestyle traders, you know, which is in and out of the market. We're done trading. Let's do, something else with our time. And so that is very appealing to a lot of people. Depending on what else you do with your time. So it's better to have the choice of what you do with the rest of your time than being forced to do something you don't want to do, right?
Do you trade crypto, or is that a separate entity altogether?
So I used to trade crypto, but the reason why I don't is because, I don't know, this, it depends. Some people would disagree with me on this, but I find it easier to trade the traditional markets. And one of the reasons is the fees involved, for example, you know, that when you in futures trading, it's not like in crypto where the fees for every transaction, they're much higher. But also it's in order to help other people trade, if you trade the traditional markets, there is a way to get funding to trade without using your own capital. I mean, okay, that doesn't exist in crypto at the moment. Right. So, but that maybe is too in depth to talk about now in terms of how people can get funded without using their own money. I mean, we do teach people how to do that as well. But that doesn't exist in crypto. And then also with crypto, there's a steeper learning curve for, say, a lot of people in how to do that. Right. But me personally, I do still do it, but not as my main focus. Right.
Yeah. Someone in the comments earlier said that crypto is part of the system. I don't think that's true. I mean, the purpose of Bitcoin or the other currencies is to be outside of the system, and it's quite obvious that the establishment, the central bankers, don't like that.
Yeah, look, I think ultimately that since the powers that be can control the exit and the on-ramps, the fiat on-ramps, they still have a tremendous amount of control. And I think, you know, it's possible they are just allowing this to run because it serves their interests in terms of the CBDCs and what they have in plan in the future. But, you know, I've gone past the point of worrying about that, you know, because what I can't do anything about it, but what I can do is what's in front of me to change my life and change, you know, where I can live and the options that I have, right? So, it could be, yeah.
I think it's a great idea that kids, they don't have to, as you say, go into it, but it's a skill that is valuable. What you're talking about is you're teaching a child how to become a capitalist, how to make money, how to game the system, without necessarily hurting anybody at all, and improving one's lot in life.
Well, I mean, think about some of the useless subjects they have these days. Transgender studies, whatever, environmentalism. Yeah, so you know, they're one of their subjects is learning to trade, learning to know when something's of good value to buy and when to sell. I mean, it's... for me, I know that I would have loved as a teenager to be given the opportunity to learn the stuff. And I wished I didn't learn it as late as I did, to be honest. But there'll be haters and there'll be, but mostly I get positive feedback, you know, from people who see my children trading or hear about it. I've never really actually received any negative comment about it.
And I mean, it is also an art of war strategy to use the system against itself.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you know, we don't know what's coming next. These crazy people, who would have imagined that they would have done what they did during COVID? It's about the flexibility that trading provides. And it can be, and you know, at the very least, I think every person should do have a basic understanding of markets and how they move and how to actually work out whether something is a fair value, whether it's oversold. These are basic skills that I think every person who's interested in investing in anything should have an understanding. Like, I mean, you know, the saying is like, you know, Bitcoin, I think it was almost going to break all-time highs. Well, whether it's done it while we're on this conversation, I don't know. But, you know, you find that the average person generally starts to buy when it's at all-time highs, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but my kids already know that. Yeah, my children already know we worked it out when they should have been buying. And that was a year ago, you know, because we know that it was But you see, this skill is the basic understanding of how trading works or how to work out fair value for anything. Every single person should learn this as a skill. If you're going to be any sort of investor, you should do it.
And I'm just looking at my crypto wallet now. I mean, I bought years ago and I forget about it. I don't know much about it. I don't get into it. I've just got a crypto wallet with Bitcoin and Ethereum, and I don't do anything with it, as I said. It has gone up so much. And if I were to go to an exchange now and convert this to my currency, I mean, I can't think of anything in the last few years that would match that.
No, I actually read something the other day which said, you know, do you follow any meme coins? You know, I don't know if you know the trend in meme coins, you know, these like Dogecoin or Pepe or any of these, you know, these meme coins, they essentially have no value. They're like a joke, you know? And they were saying that combined, they've outperformed over the last 5 years, they've outperformed any hedge fund, right? And but it's not a true investment. Like Bitcoin, I say, you're doing the right thing. Hold and forget, and then when you want to sell, whatever, that's different. I mean, I think people who trade in and out really need to know more technical stuff. But if you're holding and you're just buying over the long term because you believe in what Bitcoin stands for, then yeah, that's absolutely the right way to do it.
Let me just quickly go to a break, Brent Delport. I'll be back with you shortly. My name is Jerm. This is TNT.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
In case you missed it, Newsbusters highlighted an interview between Washington Post technology and online culture columnist, a woman by the name of Taylor Lorenz. She interviewed the woman that most of us know as Libs of TikTok. Her name is Chaya Raichik. And the topic here was children changing sexes.
But if they're leading happy lives and they just are leading a different...
Well, there are studies that show that they're more suicidal after transition.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, there's a study out of Sweden.
That is not true. That is not true.
Yeah, you can look up the study.
Well, taking into account all of the happy people that have transitioned, who are not harming anyone, you can't come up with a single material harm.
So if someone says, I'll be happier if I'm blind, should a doctor pull their eyes out?
I think that's quite different than gender ideology.
Then Lorenz made this absurd analogy.
I mean, women ascribe to certain gender things. You see women getting boob jobs to affirm their gender. I mean, we're in Los Angeles. We see this kind of gender affirming.
So again, you're comparing boob jobs and nose jobs to...
Well, they're gender affirming.
Buying into the lie that they could change their sex.
Breast enhancements are gender affirming for women.
Yes, didn't you know? Getting a nose job or a boob job is the same as having a child change sexes, quote unquote. The lunacy of the left. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg. Catch my show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on TNT.
My character Shazam knows all about growing up in a family full of teenage superheroes. They're bold.
Where's everyone going?
To fight crime.
Okay.
Adventurous. Shazam! There's never a dull moment. And no matter what happens, they'll always have your back. All they need is a place to grow and be themselves. And the best part is, you don't have to be a superhero to adopt a teen. Learn more about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward.
TNT. You're with Jeremy now on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, I just want to point out, Brent, that I appreciate conversations like this because A, it's about winning, it's solutions-based. B, it's about improving your lot in life. The great thing is you can do this from anywhere. So Anoop, who comes from Nepal, I come from Africa, we come from traditionally backwards countries, but we can still do exactly the same thing, right?
Yeah, and if you look at, say, Africa, for example, trading is absolutely exploding because here somebody in a village in Africa has an opportunity to uplift themselves from whatever poverty they may have found them, you know, born into, for example. And a lot of them are, you know, the failure rate in trading is very high, but I know for sure, I mean, it goes with anything. If you're determined and you're willing to put in the work, it's only a matter of time before you succeed at it, right? And so for somebody, you know, whether they're in Tanzania or, you know, Nigeria or the Congo, they can look at this and they can get into it and they can actually uplift themselves. And all they need is an internet connection. Now, obviously people say, well, you need money to trade. Well, actually things have gone way beyond that. There are ways to trade that you actually don't need a lot of capital to trade. I mean, so it's, you're 100% right in that.
I also want to point out that it's a good time to increase your lot in life when, like Anoop, you come from a place that has rhinos walking in the streets. I kid you not, he sent me a video of he and his wife standing in a road with rhinos walking. So I think that's a very good time to start looking at other ways to improve your lot in life. I've never seen that. I thought yeah, in Africa we've got the hard knocks thing going on, but we don't have rhinos walking in the streets. Is that normal, Anoop? Is that a normal day where you come in that town? It says Anoop says it's a normal day in that place. What is the name of that place? No, I can't. Okay, he's talking in my ear, and I can't pronounce what he just said. This is the problem with an international radio station. I can't pronounce words and names from some places. Chitwan in Nepal. That's what he's typed here. He says, yeah, so that's it. I can't believe that there are rhinos walking in the street. So if there's any time to get into a way to make money and to improve your lot in life, that is it. But I mean, look, what you're saying is actually important, because how do you get out of some situations? If you, for example, are just opposed to everything digital and you're a Luddite, you're not actually doing yourself and your family any favors.
Yeah, the internet is probably the greatest tool that was ever created for a way for anybody anywhere to be able to uplift themselves financially and change their lives. And, you know, all that is required is, I say all, but it's the key ingredient, is that self-determination and belief that you can do it. And so I'm a big advocate for digital anything. It doesn't have to be trading. This is just happens to be the avenue that I've pursued, but it can be anything. And so I will cheer anybody on who's trying to be creative and do something no matter where they are. And you know, like I just said about Africa, the amount of, you look at cryptocurrencies in places like Kenya, for example, absolutely exploding. Now, the thing is, a lot of people do get caught up because they don't get educated, but the ones that do get educated around technical analysis and so forth, literally is life-changing.
Yeah. But now, okay, so let's go back to basics. What would be the easiest way then to learn how to do futures trading?
You know, there's a lot of free content online on YouTube, but there's too much of it in a way. You know, you're like, where do you start? There's so many different ways to trade, and there's so many thousands of combinations of trade setups that you could learn. And really, you know, we keep it basic in what we do is we basically teach three specific trade setups, and that's it. And in fact, we focus really on one setup. And we, you know, there's a learning curve in terms of, you know, learning how a software platform works and how to place an order and all of that. But it's like, you know, I look at how, you know, I started with my kids. It's like, here's the computer, here's the platform. You know, just obviously it's in simulation, right? And just place orders, get used to, you know, putting orders in the market, seeing how the market moves, and, you know, managing these trades, which you know nothing about, you're just putting them on the screen. And then what I did for them is I said, right, okay, I'm going to tell you when to take a trade and we're going to practice together. And so we did it that way until they get to the point where they're confident and they're telling me, hey, Dad, you know what, there's a setup, said, you know, they learn to identify it. But it's actually, trading is simple, but not easy. And the biggest aspect of trading is once you've learned, first of all, some like what you call your edge in the market or your specific trade setup that you practice over and over again, I think then it becomes a case of managing, which is the harder part, your psychology around trading.
Yeah, so there are two very opposing comments here, and I'm going to read them both to you. Again, there's somebody who I think doesn't quite understand what you're talking about. Says, yeah, seems that we are increasingly promoting the virtual digital fake world at the expense of undertaking the real world and all the benefits to be gained from it. I truly despair. Right. So let me just comment. I live in Africa. All right. Come to where I live and have a look at the millions of people that live in shacks. Okay. They have nothing. And you want to say to me that you don't want to give them an opportunity when there are satellites flying above us to which they can connect. They can improve their lot in life and get out of that situation. But you have these cynics who are saying, no, I don't like it because I'm scared of the digital world. No, it's here to stay. Embrace it. Do what Bruce Lee said. Take that which is valuable, discard that which is not, and then create what is uniquely your own. So use it for your own benefit, improve your lot in life, and get out of the situation that you're in so that you aren't in a perpetual state of mediocrity. But then, I like this comment from Catherine. She says, anyone who's homeschooling their children are simply light years ahead of the general population. Teaching them to trade, to play the flute, to milk a cow, it all adds to that education.
Yeah, and I should also say that, you know, we always have lived on farms. I mean, currently I'm in the Highlands in Scotland, and we have, you know, a farm essentially. But all my kids, and I always believed this, was that you need a foot in the old and a foot in the new. And so they all, so I taught them, you know, to actually, I say kill animals. I mean, you know, process them, cut, you know, chop up a lamb. You know, they've learned all those skills. They know how to farm. They know how to milk goats. And so I've actually taught them. I understand what their person's saying, but that's why specifically in the path that I took for them is to teach them real life skills, as that person calls it. But they need a foot in the new as well. You cannot just have, I think it's good to have both. And I educated them that way. So they all know I can put them on a farm. They know how to raise chickens. We bred our own chickens and cows and sheep and goats and all of that. So I've done actually both, to be honest.
Mm. I mean, I think it's a wonderful idea. What Catherine is saying has encapsulated what I've been thinking throughout the conversation, right? You spend an hour or two a day with your kids and your family together. The kids are trading. They're learning how to make money, number one. Then they go outside and they spend time in the sun. At the same time, they're being homeschooled. At the same time, they're eating organic food. You know, learning how to perhaps milk a goat, maybe not a cow, depending on the size of their property, but maybe they've got a goat or two, milk the goat, all that kind of thing. I am seeing such a winning scenario here that it is difficult for me to have a sense of cynicism.
Yeah, I guess it's because I never mentioned that in the beginning as well, that I do actually believe in traditional methods of learning stuff as well, and practical world life skills, you know, because you don't know where we'd find ourselves, you know, in the future. And so I wanted to teach them, like I say, something old, something new. And I think this is the perfect combination. You've got cutting edge, they're futures traders and they're teenagers, you know, but yeah, they know how to, we actually have milked cows before. So we have done that too. And it's like, yeah, they've got skills in both. which you would say, like, in all of that, none of those things they would have learned at school. Actually, none of them.
I didn't learn any of that at school. I mean, I can hardly remember anything I learned at school. Even mathematics to some degree. Okay, so I understand the value in mathematics. Fine. I understand, I suppose, the value in, I don't know, the history was fairly useless. I think that was just in propaganda. Science, I guess maybe there was some value in science. But I mean, the fact that I'm sitting here trying to figure out if a completely antiquated system of schooling had value is already a problem. Everything needs to change. We've got to readapt.
I think it is changing. I mean, homeschooling is growing exponentially. I mean, some countries still have reasonably good schooling where you could send a kid to school. Certainly in the UK, absolutely not. but, you know, again, it comes down to when you're locked down for 2 years or thereabouts, and your employer is saying, as in the case they did in Australia and New Zealand, if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to lose your job. And like, what are you going to do then, right? I mean, so it's all fine and well saying, well, you know, despair about the digital age, but the digital age gives many people a way to survive that, to be fair. And I mean, I knew many people who lost their jobs in New Zealand because they refused to take the vaccine. And what did those people end up doing? Struggling, man. Like, and so it's, you can have all the cows you want, but at the end of the day, you still need actual money. And our system functions on that basis. And to me, the greatest resilience you can have is to have both. Be able to produce your own food, but also be able to make money in the system. And take that money out of the system to buy real assets.
Yes, so I see that the comment, the negative comment to which I responded, has also clarified, just talking more about the idea of becoming only digital. I understand now. So, for example, getting sucked into the metaverse, thinking that that's your reality because that's replacing reality, that is a terrible idea, and I think nobody should embrace that. What you're talking about, though, is clearly not that. It is a real life skill that what you're talking about, and I think it's a great skill, particularly if it allows one to be independent and be your own boss.
And I advocate being resilient and producing your own food as well, so I'm all in favor of all of that stuff, and have been for years before COVID was even a thing. You know, we had a farm back then, even, you know, so it's, you know, having good quality food, and then should you need, you can leave if things become intolerable.
I must say, I don't think anybody should move to New Zealand.
It's actually a lovely place, to be honest. I really enjoyed it there, but unfortunately.
Yeah, but the problem with New Zealand is that it has orcs.
And a lot of sheep. Literally.
And a lot of sheep. Yeah. And you can't really go hunting. I go hunting every year. I need some big animals.
so you're wrong about that. You know, hunting is, there are probably more hunters in New Zealand than there are rugby players.
Well, what do they hunt?
Well, deer and pigs, basically.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, like I said, but look, as I said at the beginning of the conversation, what I really appreciate is we are talking about a solution here. This is a tricky one. It's a tricky solution because it does require a little bit of a learning curve. But this is a solution, and it's a great way to buffer against all the impending nonsense. Just by the way, I see time is now running against us. Quickly tell me how I can find out more.
Right. So our website is SilverdaleTradingAcademy.com. And, you know, we run live trading rooms and we have education, and we've tried to price it at a point that's affordable for everybody, because, you know, there are lots of things out there which are extremely expensive. But I would say, you know, a person determined enough can teach themselves by watching on YouTube. They don't actually need to come and join what we're doing at all. And I always try and paint a fair picture about trading. It's difficult. It's not easy. It's easy to learn to trade. It's much harder to manage trading, or to manage your emotions, I would say. And so I always try to, you know, put that in there so people don't get under some illusion. Oh yeah, his kids are doing it's easy. I did really say from the beginning that children find it easier than adults. So, but if anybody's interested, who's got children who are listening to the program and they want their kids to trade, go for it.
Brent Delbort, thank you for joining me in the trenches. I found this very, very interesting. And I know that Anoop did too. So thank you.
Yeah, happy to talk off camera sometime.
Yes, we will. And if you want to send me an email about throwing dwarves and sniffing lines of coke, my email is germwarfare@tntradio.live. I'll catch you tomorrow. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.